from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we bring you the latest on a hearing tied to uranium mining in the Black Hills, a look at a state-backed public safety initiative that's received pushback, and even more. It's Tuesday, May 19th. Here are today's stories. The long-running debate over mining in the Black Hills continues with a hearing tied to uranium mining in Fall River County. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
In 2022, 56% of Fall River County voters declared uranium mining as a nuisance. However, just how legally binding that declaration is has remained in question over the last 4 years. In 2022, in a statement to SDPB News, Mark Hollenbeck, project manager for Encore Energy's Dewey Burdock uranium site, argued it's an illegal referendum result. That mentality has kept the push for uranium mining and exploration in the Southern Hills alive into 2026. The Cord Project is a proposed project about 7 miles to the north of Edgemont and is driven by a different organization, the Nexus Uranium Corporation. At a public hearing in Hot Springs, it's clear the opposition to these types of projects remains stiff. One opponent, Elizabeth Lone Eagle, says the current wave of mineral exploitation of the Black Hills harkens back to the 1800s.
Different century, same intent. Your disingenuous tactics have no defense legally, morally, or ethically. And there is nothing but a permit denial that will stop it. We are all here watching, and we're not going away.
For Anissa Martin, another opponent, it's also a question about how the Black Hills will survive into the future.
How do you make decisions that are destructive to future generations? And still look into the eyes of your children and your grandchildren. Where was the tribal consultation in this process? The fact is, we should not even be here at this public hearing.
Many mining opponents contend that extractive industries like mining or logging are at odds with another tenet of the Black Hills economy, tourism. Representatives with the Nexus Uranium Corporation declined to comment. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
A public safety initiative is expanding following what officials are touting as successful results, though the initiative has faced criticism over its partnership with federal immigration enforcement efforts. Operation Prairie Thunder was announced last summer by Governor Larry Rodin. The initiative is broken down into two parts. The first is to enhance crime and drug enforcement operations. The second is to support Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. It's done through multi-agency partnerships. That second part has been criticized by advocacy groups like the ACLU and the South Dakota Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. The chamber stressed a stricter immigration enforcement could lead to increased threats of racial profiling and discrimination. Critics say it's an unnecessary measure and creates mistrust with immigrant communities. However, proponents like Rodin have said the results speak for themselves. This is leading to an expansion of the program. The South Dakota Highway Patrol is enrolling more of its troopers in ICE training as a result of its 287G agreement. The Rodin administration announced 41 troopers will soon be trained, up from the operation's initial five. A press release says the state is anticipating a federal reimbursement of approximately $165,000 as a result. Rodin tells SDPB one of the biggest things at the onset of Operation Prairie Thunder was breaking through misinformation.
There was a perception that we were out doing ICE raids. We worked pretty hard to correct that and set the record straight as far as what we were doing. It was saturation patrols and catching bad guys and getting them off the street. And secondary to that mission was if we come across one of the bad guys that was stopped for due process and we found out he was an illegal immigrant, by all means, we were going to turn it over to ICE agents.
Rodin said pushback has certainly died down once he broke through the misperception. In total, because of Operation Prairie Thunder, 75 individuals have been taken into ICE custody, though some still worry about racial discrimination and profiling. That includes some in the state's Latino community. Selena Zambrano is the president and CEO of the South Dakota Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
We love that you know, they mentioned that it's to keep us safe. Our communities want to be safe.
However, she says the Latino community feels fearful as a result of bringing any additional ICE officers into South Dakota.
We are a very tight community, very small community, that let's say somebody went out to the store and they saw a patrol and they know it's ICE. the whole community is like, oh my gosh, is this it? You know, it's so we are more of a survival mode and just waiting for that moment where like, okay, this is it. This is what we were scared of. It's actually happening right now.
However, she said a lot of that is fueled by what the community sees happening in other states across the country. She says the documented Latino immigrants in South Dakota worry about being targeted as a result of Operation Prairie Thunder.
It makes the people concerned because of what we see in the news in other states that have happened before. And so it's really hard because a lot of people don't want to go out to our restaurants anymore, don't really want to do anything other than just go to work and feel safe coming back home. Definitely has been difficult for the churches to keep members attending.
When asked by SDPB, Roden said he doesn't worry Operation Prairie Thunder adds any fuel to broader fear and national discourse around immigration. He largely attributes that trust in highway patrol officers to a personal anecdote when riding along on a saturation patrol in Watertown. Roden says while on that ride along, they happened to have pulled over an immigrant for a traffic violation. The individual had previously lived in California and was deported back home to Mexico. He then moved to Watertown. Roden says seeing how the officers approached that situation gives him confidence in the operation.
In that case, he had documents that weren't legit, and they handled him like he was, anybody else, very professional, and took him into custody and turned him over to ICE.
He adds that, for the most part, the communities where patrols have taken place have come to be very welcoming.
And why wouldn't they be? And especially after they find out what we're all about, we get past some of the misperceptions that we did originally. I think it's been a great thing for South Dakota.
Officials say the initiative has also led to an increase in drug crackdowns. Running totals on the initiative show that as of the beginning of May, the operation has resulted in over 1,100 total drug charges across 483 individuals. It's also led to 42 DUIs and over 2,300 traffic citations. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. Further details on Operation Prairie Thunder and that story can be found at sdpb.org/news. Yet another firearm was stolen from a car in Rapid City, according to police. While law enforcement say the yearly total is trending down, it's still a problem for the community. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
Police say firearm burglaries from cars are serious problems in Rapid City and beyond, as they're frequently difficult to track down before it's too late. Brennan Medina is the spokesperson for the RCPD. He explains when a stolen gun is usually recovered.
The most frequent way that we do recover these stolen firearms is most often once they've been used to victimize somebody else in our community.
Rapid City police say a gun was stolen from a vehicle over the weekend, the 10th such incident this year. The same day, police reported on an arrest involving a firearm that was stolen out of a car in 2025. Medina says responsible gun ownership is a task to take seriously.
That's why it's so important that those who do own firearms do so responsibly. And proper firearm ownership starts with maintaining that 24/7 accountability for that firearm. And that simply doesn't occur if you're leaving it in a vehicle unattended. We take a report of a vehicle burglary in the first place, but then to also find out that we've had a gun get introduced into the criminal population here in Rapid City, that's especially concerning.
Year over year, these types of thefts are trending downward so far. At the same time, the year isn't even halfway over. Medina says, despite trending in the right direction, gun owners need to think about the implications of where they store their firearms.
That's a good thing, but really just keep in mind anything above zero is still going to be concerning for law enforcement.
Last year, over 36 firearms were stolen from cars in Rapid City alone. In an incident from late last year, a handgun was stolen from a car with no signs of forced entry. That was also the case in the latest burglary from this weekend. Medina says often car burglaries aren't break-ins. Potential thieves will walk through parking lots, going from car to car, checking door handles for unlocked vehicles to grab valuables of any kind. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The U.S. Small Business Administration says it's making low-interest disaster loans available to small businesses in South Dakota impacted by drought. The declaration covers 14 counties spread across southwest and south central South Dakota. Officials say that's the region most impacted by drought conditions this spring. The SBA says the loans are available to small businesses, ag co-ops, nurseries, and nonprofit organizations facing financial loss due to drought. The loans are not available directly to farmers or ranchers. Find more information, including how to apply, at sdpb.org/news. The Yankton Boys and Girls Club was scammed out of $200,000 through what officials are calling deepfake fraud. The organization sent a letter to supporters saying it was a victim of cybercrime last month. The letter says the scam involved, quote, advanced social engineering tactics that included AI voice cloning, spoofed phone numbers, and manipulated transaction requests. Scammers fraudulently withdrew approximately $200,000 from a reserve account. Officials say no personal information from employees, youth, or donors was compromised. A car chase in downtown Rapid City ended with a splash after the fleeing suspect lost control and crashed into Rapid Creek. The driver and passengers were not injured. RCPD spokesperson Brendan Medina said the driver of the vehicle, later determined to be stolen, fled during a routine traffic stop Saturday night.
The vehicle is partially submerged in the creek, and thankfully we didn't have any additional injuries as a result of that crash.
The high-speed chase took place and eventually reached its conclusion at the Maple Avenue Bridge. With the downtown pursuit at 10:30 on a Saturday night, that brings public risks beyond a suspect crashing into a creek. Medina says incidents like these are complicated to approach.
You have to be aware of the risks that come with that pursuit. When we are engaged in a pursuit, that pursuit is closely monitored by a supervisor, and it is the responsibility of the officer to call out things like road conditions, traffic density.
The suspect, a juvenile, was apprehended. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.